Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, the 14th to the 21st verses. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the Son of God. And this the judgment, that the light has come to the world. People love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For those who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I feel like there's a couple reasons that I became a preacher. One of the reasons is I make a terrible criminal mastermind. My career as a criminal was fairly short-lived. I think some of y'all might have heard the story of my first crime, when I stole the pack of Fruit Strike gum at the Walmart when my mother wasn't looking. Well, you would have hoped that at 4 years old I would have learned my lesson. But I have not mastered the principles of the perfect crime. Right? See, there's principles that you have to follow to really pull off the really criminal kind of mastermind heists, right? And I think some of y'all might know this. So you never return to the scene of the crime. If you ever get caught, don't say a word. Don't say anything. Some of y'all knew those answers a little too quickly. I'm just saying. So I'm glad you're here to hear this, right? So I didn't really master these principles early on. And so I kind of got caught in one particular situation when I was younger. So I went with my mother when I was about 12 years old to help set up her classroom. And she was a school nurse, and she worked in a special needs classroom. And as she was setting up a table, I kind of saw it on the edge of the wall. It was kind of Velcroed next to this kind of felt board. And I always wanted it, but I didn't need it. And it was a brand new laser pointer. Now, laser pointers are pretty awesome, because there's really no real use for them at all, except to just be really cool. You know, you can tell a slideshow or something like that, and you could say, look at this cool graphic that I made on my iPad, and you can sort of draw attention to something. But as a 12-year-old, there's really no use for this at all. But laser pointers had just kind of come out, and I'd seen a couple people that haven't. The only people that ever had laser pointers are kind of executives in, like expensive clothes and ties and board meetings and kids at school who were awesome. Those were the people that had laser pointers. And as I saw it, I just had to have it. I just had to take it. And I told my mom that I was going to go to the bathroom. And as I passed by the wall, I kind of did the whole get it, stick it, and go kind of thing, right? And I remember, sort of the adrenaline that was going through my body. I remember kind of the excitement and the fear and the dread as realizing what it was that I had done, as I was sitting there in the bathroom looking at it and playing with it, and just sort of kind of processing and coming to grips with what I had just done. Now, some of y'all might be familiar with this moment in time. Probably not many of y'all, because y'all are probably a lot better people than I am. This is what we refer to as a crossroads. The crossroads is, one, kind of the devil on the shoulder. I could keep it. The other is, while my mother's not looking, I could put it back. That's the angel on the shoulder, right? I did not grow up listening to the angel very often. And I kept it. And I put it in my pocket and I went home. And for days, I remember I had it hidden in my room and I would pull it out at night and I kind of shine it on the ceiling. I kind of shine it on the wall. I kind of shine it on the floor. Because there's nothing else for me to do with it. I'm 12 years old. What am I going to do with a laser pointer? I can't show it to anybody. What's going to happen if I show it to somebody? They're going to tell somebody, right? Again, I'm at a crossroads. I could tell my mother what I did, and I could explain how ashamed I was, and that I wanted to give it back, and that I wanted to apologize about what I did. But again, I never got very far listening to the angel when I was younger. And I kept it again. And I took it to school, only sort of this guilt, the shame, kept kind of piling on, kept kind of building up, this hidden secret that I had. And I didn't want that burden anymore. I didn't want to carry around that weight anymore. So I tried to get rid of it. And when you're 12 and you try to get rid of something, what you do is you try to sell it to your friends. And so I tried to sell it to my friends, but it turns out my friends are much smarter than me. They were like, dude, I don't want it. Because if you're 12 years old and you have a laser pointer, odds are you probably stole it. Case in point. My friends were a lot smarter than me. And so they didn't want it because they didn't want to draw any attention to themselves. They knew they didn't have anything to do with it. And so I was stuck with it. And I was like, man, I couldn't do anything with it. I didn't want to get rid of it. Like, I didn't just want to throw it away. I didn't want to give it back to my mom. I didn't want to face her and just how disappointed she was and how ashamed she was going to be in me and face how ashamed I already was in myself. I mean, this is about as low and as bad as I could possibly get, stealing from kids. And so I kept it in my backpack. And then a couple days went by, and as fate would have it, my dad asked if he could borrow a pen, if I had a pen in my backpack. And I said, yeah, sure, it's over in the kitchen. So my dad went and opened up my backpack to pull out a pen, and what would he pull out? A laser pointer. And he said, hey, where did you get this? Now again, we find ourselves at a crossroads. Now, one way would say, I took it when I was in mom's classroom. And I'm ashamed of myself, and I want to give it back, and I'm sorry, and sort of turn around and kind of face the punishment, face the music, and really just kind of get this burden, this guilt that's off of me. But again, I doubled down. I mean, like, I went all in, and I was like, I got it from a friend. I bought it off of a friend. And he said, well, what friend? And I said, George. He knows George. I have just now thrown George under the bus. I have pulled George into this. Again, not a good thing to do for a criminal mastermind. And he was like, well, where did George get it? And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, how much did you pay for it? And I said, well, I got it real cheap, because he knew how much allowance I made. He knew I did not pay top dollar for nothing on the streets, right? And I said, well, he sold it to me real cheap. He only sold it for $5. He said, okay, well, I'll tell you what. He said, how about I buy it off of you? And before I could think of the ramifications of this in my 12-year-old man mind, I said, sure, no problem. He gave me $5. And as I was putting it in my pocket, I realized this is not going to end well. Because who is the first person he's going to tell that he just bought a laser pointer off of? My mom, who is now going to realize where her missing laser pointer went. So in backtracking, I have stolen, I got paid for stealing, I threw a friend under the bus, I mean, I stole from kids. I mean, this is again about as low down dirty as you can possibly get. I mean, there's not really a lot of coming back from this at all. And I just kept doubling down, and I just kept piling it on. I just kept digging the hole deeper, and I kept getting as low as I could possibly go, just hoping that this problem would eventually just, I don't know, go away or something. But I kept making it worse, and I kept getting even deeper. In our scripture lesson this morning, we come to what many would call one of the most recognizable scriptures in the entire Bible. John 3:16 is kind of planted right in the heart of what we read today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I mean, we see this on signs at basketball games and football games. I mean, WWE made a parody out of it. I mean, it's one of the most recognizable scriptures in all of the gospel. But there is a character in these scriptures that we often miss. At the very beginning of what we read is an image. And as Pete read the scripture this morning, he talked about that as Moses lifted up the serpent, so the Son of Man shall be lifted up as well. Way back before Jesus, as Moses and the Israelites were going through the desert, this whole kind of trail party of the Israelites, there began to be sort of this attitude, this grumbling, there's this dissension, this dissatisfaction, this frustration that began bubbling up and this toxic poison began spreading throughout all the people. As they were grumbling, as they were arguing, as they were angry, as they were accusing, as they were yelling at God, why in the world would you bring us out to the desert to die like animals in our hunger and in our helplessness? Accusing God of bringing them to a point of killing, of killing them out in the desert. And when you wouldn't think that matters would get any worse, it says that serpents, toxic, poisonous serpents, slithered into their midst and began biting them. And as they began to get sick, and as so many of them began to die, God told Moses to take one of the serpents, to place it on his rod, and to lift it up into the air. And anybody who had been bitten, if they look upon that serpent, shall be healed. Now, this is the image that we get for the modern medical branch. If you ever see two snakes that are wrapped around a pole, that if they turn and look upon it, that they shall be healed. And as that serpent was lifted up, so should be the Son of Man. You see, we give God all the credit in John 3:16. Because God's done all the work. That as God was lifted up, that as Jesus was sacrificed and lifted up for us, that if we only would look upon him, we might be saved. But you see, that's the turn. That's the character that we so often miss. If we would turn and look upon him, I guarantee you that there were some stubborn Israelites in the desert who would have rather died being bit by that snake than turning to look upon what God has told them will save them. And I know that because I've been that stubborn person as well. That when there is a sin in my life, when there is a problem in my life, when there is an issue in my life that I want to hide, I want to keep hidden, I want to keep in that darkness that Pete read about this morning, because I've loved the darkness more than the light and I've insisted I could do it better on my own, when I have kept that secret on my own, when I kept that laser pointer in my pocket, I didn't turn to the light. I didn't look upon Jesus. I didn't look upon that serpent. I didn't turn around. I doubled down. I dug the hole deeper. I told even more lies. I threw more people under the bus. And I came to the point to where there was nothing left but just me, isolated, on my own, wrapped up in my own guilt and shame, to the point that I had no other options. Now, the bad news is, spiritually, if we stay like that for long enough, if we isolate ourselves and move ourselves wrapped up in our sin and our frustration and our own pride and our stubbornness so much to the side, we're just like those in the desert. We die there. We waste away. We turn into nothing because we're so wrapped up in doing it on our own and refusing to just turn around. Now, when my mother found out that I took the laser pointer, it was not a good day in the life of Arthur. I tell you the truth, I can't even remember any of it, which means I probably got whooped. If I can't remember it, it's probably a good whooping too. But it was more than that. I remember I got yelled at. I remember I got yelled at by mom. I remember I got yelled at by dad. I remember that my sisters thought it was hilarious. But I remember the talk that came after the yelling. Have y'all ever had that talk? I could not be more. It's like y'all were in the same room. Disappointed. And that's what turned, more than the shame, more than the guilt. Knowing that I had let her down, knowing that I had hurt somebody that had only given me anything I've ever asked for in life. That hurt more than anything. And after that talk, she tried to come up with something new that she'd never tried before. She made me write a paper. She actually made me write two papers. She made me write a paper on envy, and she made me write a paper on jealousy. She said, these were two of the seven deadly sins that I apparently needed to work on. And she wanted to see me write a paper on both of them. I didn't even know there were seven deadly sins. We're not Catholic. I didn't know this. And this was, I couldn't just Google it. This was before Wikipedia. And I had to look up and I had to research what envy and what jealousy was. And in reading the Proverbs, I came across one particular scripture. And it talked about envy. And it talked about that envy rots the bones. That it kills us from the inside out. And that proverb felt so true in my heart, because I felt the tinge and the start of that rot and that death, that as I kept doubling down on the sin, on this lie, on the situation, I kept distancing myself from love, from grace, from forgiveness, and turning around and coming back to a relationship and to life again. Some of us are in some situations that are deeper than a laser pointer. Some of us have relationships that we have not had conversations that we need to have. Some of y'all in jobs that you feel like you've been going through the same motions day after day, hoping that the issues that are piling up and the stress and the frustration that's piling up on you will somehow miraculously just go away. We don't know how to ask for help. We don't know how to say that we can't do it on our own. And we don't know how to ask for forgiveness. And it's so easy. Because like the scripture that we read, John 3:16, God's already done all the work. The Son of Man has already been lifted up. The salvation has already been put on a pole for us to simply just turn around and look and see. What does turning around look like for you this week? What does that conversation sound like? When can that conversation happen? Because the faster that we face our sin, the faster that we take that darkness that's in our hearts and we expose it to the light, you'll be amazed how turning around can change everything. Will you pray with me this morning? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks because, Lord, you have lifted yourself up that we might see you and see our salvation. Lord, we are like those that are so stubborn, that are so frustrated, that are so wrapped up in ourselves that we can do it on our own, or we don't know how to ask for forgiveness, or we don't know how to ask for help. Or, Lord, we insist that this is the way that we decided we want it. That we have buried ourselves, isolated ourselves, wrapped up ourselves so tight in secrets and sin, Lord, that it is so difficult to see a way out. And we are like those who would rather die in the desert than those who would see our sins exposed and come into the light. But you are the one who did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the whole world might be saved. Help us stop condemning ourselves. Help us stop killing ourselves, that we might turn around and to see you looking back, waiting for us to come and seeing a new hope and a new future and a new life, that we could turn towards you and experience the very joy and the very life and the kingdom that you have told us about in your word, and that we then might be able to share it with others. As we pray this all in Jesus' name, amen.